Unfortunately, in sports today, we hear a lot of athletes and coaches talk about themselves as warriors and as the games, as battles, and as wars and so on. Well, joining us now is an athlete who actually is, in fact, a warrior in no uncertain terms, and I don't mind saying this, but in probably the 20-plus year run of this radio program, this is the biggest, baddest person we've ever had on. His name is Rourke Denver, and he's the author of a new book called Damn Few about his time in the Navy SEALs. Rourke, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, let's start, I guess, actually, since this is a sports show technically, although we tend to blur those lines, but let's start with your athletic career, and it was a great one, at Syracuse University, where you were the captain of the lacrosse team there, an All-American and an NCAA champion in 1993 and 1995. Tell us about those days.
Yeah, it was an amazing time to be in Orange and play for, you know, one of the truly great coaches in the history of the game, Roy Simmons Jr., whose father before him really started that program and the legacy that's turned into a superpower in the sport. So I grew up in California, and I was going to stay out west. I played water polo in the fall, and so I thought I was going to stay west and kind of stay in the sun and in aquatics. And then I started playing lacrosse my sophomore year of high school. I went back to Syracuse for a summer camp, and next thing you know, they recruited me, and it was hard to say know at that point to play for a team like that and a coach like that, and we sure had an amazing run of my time there, and I really it set up a lot of the life lessons that I carried into being an officer in the Navy. So it was an amazing time.
So let me get this straight, Lieutenant Commander Rourke Denver. You pick up a stick for the first time when you were a sophomore in high school,
yep.
And just a few
yep.
years later, you were the captain of your Syracuse team and winning national championships.
That worked out pretty well. I picked it up. I definitely had kind of a quick, proclivity for the game. I practiced really hard, and I went back to that camp. I had no idea that's how people got recruited. I was just going back there for fun. At the end of the week, there were kind of three of us that were, you know, I guess had maybe distinguished ourselves at that camp. And, the coach Simmons came over to me and said, look, we had no idea anyone was playing at this level in California. I also just heard you've only been playing lacrosse for 2 years. That makes no sense. We would love to have you here. You'll get folded into a very competitive program, and we think you're gonna succeed. And he wasn't wrong, so it was great.
How quickly did you play and earn playing time on that team?
You know, I'm lucky to say I played. I think in every game for all 4 years. I got on the field.
Wow.
Now, as a freshman, for the most part, as a freshman, you're getting in when we had the game won. So there are only a couple of guys that really, really play as freshmen. By the time I was a sophomore, I was seeing good runs, and then a junior and senior year, I played handedly and was captain my senior year. The other twist they threw at me is I was an offensive midfielder, so I played offense in high school in my sophomore year. So yet again, that must have been my magic year to make a big transition. The coaches said, you know, I think you'll get on the field faster if we put a long stick in your hands. So next thing you know, I transitioned to defense, and the rest kind of went from there. So it was quite a ride.
Now, did you know in college what you wanted to do with your life afterwards?
I didn't. I had, I think as many, many young men and college students, I had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do next. But I've always been a voracious reader. My dad, brother, and I are always sending books back and forth to one another. And my dad sent me, in the fall of my senior year, a copy of Winston Churchill's My Early Life. So it's one of his autobiographies that he wrote much later in life, but it really chronicles about his first 30 years. And it was amazing 30 years. I recommend that book to anyone. And I put that book down, and I knew I wanted to serve. I just knew that if I was going to earn my place in society and have a seat at the table, that military service would be the place to do it and get adventures and test leadership. And so that's what brought me in. That book was genuinely a call to service for me.
Amazing. All right, so college is over. You're a big lacrosse star, and you just wake up and say, I want to be a SEAL. What actually happens next?
Once I read that book and I knew I wanted to serve, then it wasn't too big a gap to bridge to say, okay, well, if I'm going to go get adventures, let me get with the guys that are going to find it. So I heard about this program down in sleepy, Southern California town called Buds, Basic Underwater Demolition SEAL Training, and that, 75-80% of the people don't get through, and that sounded like the right kind of odds to me. So I applied as an officer. It actually took me about 2 years to get a spot as an officer. It's unbelievably competitive to put in an officer application and get picked. And I sat on the board a couple years ago, 12, 13 years later in my career, and boy, I don't know if I'd get in now. The talent level is through the roof. But it was tough then, and when I finally got got my attempt or my shot, I took full advantage of it. So that brought me into the SEAL teams, and then it's been I had a couple years pre 9/11, and then 9/11 unfolded, and needless to say, the rest of it's, I guess, in my book and a lot of history that we all know.
Yeah, the book is called Damn Few, Making the Modern SEAL Warrior. I do want to go back to that. Is it a training program or when you're trying to get in? And again, the percentages are so much against you. You're coming from basically Syracuse University, a lacrosse player. Is everyone else you're competing against, are they from the Naval Academy? Do they have some sort of military background already in their life? How out of place were you at that point?
It's a big mix. So guys will apply from the Naval Academy, and they have a direct commissioning source coming out to be officers as Naval Academy grads, but they have to compete internally with other Naval Academy grads to get an officer spot. And then ROTC kids, so kids that are in college around the country in an ROTC program, they'll compete in their own pool. And then I competed in a pool which was called OCS, Officer Candidate School, and it's for someone that has a college degree but didn't do a military program to prepare for commissioning or becoming an officer, and then you apply from that pool to get in as an officer. So hyper competitive group of folks. I mean, it felt like everybody had, was an All-American or a multi-sport athlete and had, amazing grades and good letters of recommendation and then phenomenal physical fitness scores. So it really is an amazing process to try and get selected as an officer. And the nice thing is, if you get the spot, you feel the weight of that and you feel the responsibility of it, and you kind of feel honored that you got the nod.
We are with Lieutenant Commander Rourke Denver, 14 years a Navy SEAL officer and also a former lacrosse star at Syracuse University. I heard you tell a great story on Conan O'Brien recently about Hell Week. If you don't mind sharing a few of the highlights, if that's what you want to call them, from Hell Week in your experience.
Yeah. So Hell Week's our kind of final line in the sand when you're in training. I mean, training goes a lot longer past Hell Week. It's actually relatively early in our training, but it's the last it's the last test that gets the bulk of the guys, basically out of the program. And almost everybody quits. We don't drop that many guys. Most people just don't want to be that cold, wet, and miserable again in their life. And Hell Week starts on a Sunday night, kind of with a bang. You're sleeping in a tent or pretending to sleep in a tent as a class, 60, 70 guys, and then machine guns go off in the tent and crash grenades and smoke grenades come in and rockets are going off, and it's just an amazing show. And then Hell Week has begun, and you're just moving around doing physical evolutions like carrying the boats on your head and paddling out through the surf and laying in the surf to try and freeze you and tear at your psyche and see how tough you are and what kind of resiliency you have, kind of emotionally and spiritually and psychologically. And if you've got that, sometime on Friday of that week, you graduate from Hell Week, and then you kind of move on in training. And in those 5 days, you get about a maximum of 4 hours of sleep. So two little nap periods. And other than that, you're just moving and going, and you're genuinely a zombie by Thursday night, Friday. And that's one of the stories that came out on Conan that I remember. On Thursday night, everybody's getting really punchy and we're racing and these little rubber boats. So it's about seven guys in a boat racing each other around Coronado Island. And you want to win the races because you get breaks if you win. And I remember one of my buddies just starts paddling like a lunatic. I mean, we're just kind of plodding along, but this guy just starts paddling so much so that the boat is lurching over another direction because he's paddling so hard. And I yell at him and say, "Hey, what's going on?" And he said, "We got to go, let's go." And I said, "Okay, what is happening?" He said, "We got to go or that clown's going to catch us." And, I said, "What?" And he said, "That clown on the bicycle is gaining on us." And so we're in the middle of San Diego Bay. And I actually remember turning around. I mean, I didn't see the clown, but at that point I was so punchy I couldn't confirm that there wasn't a clown on a bicycle chasing us. So I looked back and I didn't see a clown, but I said, "Well, let's go. Yeah, let's definitely win this race." And, off we were and running. And that's one of, 100 stories that kind of come out of that week. It's pretty wild.
The old clown on the bicycle in the water chasing
you. You got to watch for him.
What an amazing story. And it's not done yet. Rourke Denver and some SEALs went Hollywood. We'll get into that when we come back. The amazing tale of Rourke Denver here on Sportsline on WBAL.